This is the eighth verse, and we will try to finish the next three in about a month on May 18th. And what I'm going to do now is, what I've done every week, is summarize what we've studied in a way so almost that you memorize it, almost like these will be sutras. And the purpose of a sutra is to codify knowledge. So I'm hoping by now, after studying week after week, that almost you can unpack it yourself. And while we're going to actually chant the verses after I explain them again, see, as we're chanting the verses, is if the meaning of the verses actually comes to your mind after hearing it for so many weeks. So, okay, and remember, I couched the class at the very beginning in kind of a cosmic history, that you actually weren't born, you know, in this particular life. You know, my life didn't begin in the Brooklyn Jewish Hospital on October 13th, 1950. But it's a long, long journey. And then this birth appears to be my great fortune, because I came in contact with the sadhu who either created my fortune, but generally the philosophy is that to come to this point of bhakti, where you understand that bhakti and devotional service is not to get something for yourself, but to give yourself to something else. Because many people come to a temple. All right, come on in. Hare Krishna. Sri Rupa, nice to see you. Great that you can get away. Oh, some kind of thing for you to sit on? You're okay? Okay. Okay. And to come to that realization, it usually takes many, many births of what's called bhakti prada sukriti, the piety that gives bhakti. It may just be a person walking into the bhakti center for an Ayurvedic cooking class, you know, and wanders into the temple, or meets Virabhadraram, you know, on the, you know, the stairs, and speaks to a devotee, or anything, or hears the kirtan. And after so many years, so many lifetimes, perhaps, of our soul being in contact with spiritual phenomena, it awakens perhaps to the degree that we want to surrender ourselves to something beyond our own desire. But we not only want to do what we want to do what's right, which is to give ourselves totally to God in some form. And when that happens, somehow or other God arranges for us to meet a sadhu and adopt the practice of pure devotional service. And pure devotional service means you do things with the intention to please God. You do things with the intention to please Krishna. And that's real bhakti. And you surrender to a guru who carries, is surrendered to God, and therefore his will and his desire is to please God. So it's a dynamic moment when people actually come to this point somehow or other and are. So we had an overview, and we're going to finish the eighth verse today. But basically, when someone understands this, then what happens You have a desire to stop listening to the voices of the false ego, which is saying, I want, for me. And you start listening to the voices of the soul, for you, for you. And then vacha vegam, manasa krodha vegam, jiva vegam, the start to control the vegas. So this is the symptom of one coming to Krishna consciousness. And then it's so systematically organized by Srila Rupa Goswami and organized in the form of poetry, so beautiful, that he begins to describe what is the external behavior and symptoms, practices. And the first thing is we give up things that are unfavorable. Atyahara piyasascha, prajalpo niyamagraha, janasangas chalolam cha. We give up things. Atyahara. We have to give up atyahara. Atyahara means we start to collect more than we need. And when you collect more than you need, and we have a quota according to our nature and desires, it's not that everyone has different needs, but when you start to collect more than you need, then what happens? You develop an attachment for it. An attachment always wants more. And it never ends, never ends, never ends, never ends. And if you keep in this way, one day you will take birth as Donald Trump. Well, you know, what I always wanted to do is I always wanted to be a hell, brimstone, and fire preacher and scare people into spiritual life. Just like Prabhupada, when he went to the coal mines. He was talking about a preacher who went to the coal mines and started to tell the people, you're going to go to hell. It's dark. It's dark and it's cold. And they just thought, like, so what? And then the pastor said, but in hell there's no newspapers. He said, oh, my God, we'll behave, we'll behave. So if you keep up and you don't follow these vagrants, you could wind up running for the president of the United States. Okay. You see, because yesterday I spoke on comedy thing and the whole thing. I'm still in that mood. So I wanted to have kind of a good joke here for people to get enlivened. So those things, we should remember what they are. We'll read them. And then we want to do that's what's favorable. You remember? Utsaha nistya darya tat tat karma pavartanat sangha tyaga sito vritehi. These things that are favorable. Enthusiasm for truth. And confidence in that goal to such a degree of so much faith in that if I attain prema, that whatever happens, I'll tolerate because it's a small price to pay. And tut-tut karma, and I start to follow strictly what is the practices for this. And they're all deal with, you know, and giving up the bad association. And then we remember text 4 was, okay, so it described that a very important thing is to give up bad association and sato vrite, to follow those in devotion. So how do you relate with them? What's the proper relation of devotee? Tadati pritagrinati guyam atyachi pritchati bhunte bhojyate chaiva. You give gifts, you accept gifts, especially the holy name. You inquire in confidence. You explain in confidence. You know, this is my situation. You meet a sadhu. this is my situation. How do I advance? And then he may explain, well, I had that problem. This is how I move forward in spiritual life. Those type of exchange, and giving and accepting prasadam. And then he explains, and we're up to the internal development and vision. So, okay, a sadhu, how do you make distinctions? How do you make those distinctions? How do you know how to relate? So it gives the vision of a devotee who is fixed. He has prema for the Supreme Lord. He has maitra, friendship, for the devotees. He has kripa, compassion for the innocent, and upeksha, he neglects. And you relate to different people. So how does a person in this type of consciousness see? And then in text 6, how should he not look at a Vaishnava? He should not look just externally. He should see what is his dedication and surrender. Beyond his mistakes or his accidental mistakes, beyond the traces of his previous karma that manifest in his personality, beyond his particular birth or defect. And then last week's class, we discussed, and how does such a person practice Krishna consciousness? How does he practice Krishna consciousness? Well, even if he doesn't like it, he does it because he knows it's the cure. And then today's verse, how does he practice when he actually develops love and attraction in his heart? And that's what we're going to discuss today. So, but Rati, first let's go over the verses, and these very good students will, you know, really imbibe this in their hearts as we chant them together, okay? Vacha vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam mudra pasta vegam itan vegan yo vishahete dira sarvam apimam prithivim sasishya. Lucy?
Atyahara payasascha prajalpo niyamagraha jana sangastaloyam cha shad bhakta manasyati.
Anybody read?
Once devotional service is spoiled when it becomes too entangled in the following 6 activities. 1. Eating more than necessary or collecting more funds than required. 2. Over-endeavoring for mundane things that are very difficult to obtain. 3. Talking unnecessarily about mundane subject matters. 4. Practicing the scriptural rules and regulations only for the sake of following them and not for the sake of spiritual advancement. 4. Rejecting the rules and regulations of the scriptures and working independently or whimsically. 5. Associating with worldly-minded persons who are not interested in Krishna consciousness. And 6. Being greedy for mundane achievements.
Utsaha nishtayadayat tat tat karma pavartanat sangatyagat sato vrite shadvir bhakti prasidyati.
There are 6 principles favorable to the execution of pure devotional service. 1, being enthusiastic. 2, endeavoring with confidence. 3, being patient. 4, acting according to regulative principles such as Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, hearing, chanting, and remembering Krishna. 5, abandoning the association of non-devotees. And 6, following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. These 6 principles undoubtedly assure the complete success of pure devotional service.
Dadati pritagrinati guyam akyati prichati bhunte bojyate chaiva shadvidham pritilakshanam.
Someone? Go ahead. Go ahead, read.
Offering gifts in charity, accepting prasad and offering prasad are the six symptoms of loving and love shared by one devotee and another.
Krishna iti yasya girtam manasa driyeta dikshasti chet pranata bischa bhajantam isham shushrushaya bhajana vigyam ananya anya nindari sunya hidam ipsita shangalabhya. Anyone?
One should mentally honor the devotee who chants the holy name of Lord Krishna. One should offer humble obeisances to the devotee who has undergone spiritual initiation, diksha, and is engaged in worshiping the deity. And one should associate with and faithfully serve that pure devotee who is advanced in undeviated devotional service and whose heart is completely devoid of the propensity to criticize others.
Trishtai swabhava janatai vipushascha doshai na prakritatvamiya bhakta janasya pasye gangam basam nakalubu buddhapena pankai brahma javattam apagachati niradharmai. Is that well?
Being situated in his original Krishna conscious position, pure devotee does not identify with the body. Such a devotee should not be seen from a materialistic point of view. Indeed, one should overlook a devotee's having a body born in a low family, a body in a bad complexion, a deformed body, or a diseased or infirmed body. According to the ordinary vision, such imperfections may seem prominent in the body of a pure devotee. But despite such seeming defects, the body of a pure devotee cannot be polluted. It is exactly like the waters of the Ganges, which sometimes during the rainy season are full of bubbles, foam, and mud. The Ganges water do not become polluted. Those who are advanced in spiritual understanding will bathe in the Ganges without considering the condition of the water.
Sat Krishna nama charatari sutaptya vidya pito patapta rasanasya narochikanu kinva darara nudidam kalu saiva jushta sadvi kramad babatita gadamula hanti. Janine?
Chanting these sweet names
every day, a natural relish awakens
within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed.
Next. Tanama rupa charatari sukirtananu smityo kramena rasana manasani yoja tishtan vraje tanunuragi jananugami kalam nayeda kilamit yupadesha saram.
The essence of all advice is that one should utilize one's full time, 24 hours a day, in nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form, qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one's tongue and mind. In this way, one should reside in Vraja, Goloka Vrindavan Dham, and serve Krishna under the guidance of devotees. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to his devotional service. Okay, Rati? Okay, we're going to do the review. Okay? Well, we have verse 7 up there, so we just chanted that verse. And just a very, very interesting concept that we had discussed before, that something can be very wonderful, but you may not experience it as wonderful if there's a defect or a covering in the vehicle or means in which you do experience it. And the example was given of jaundice, that sugar cane is very sweet, but you can't taste it as so if you're diseased. And in a similar way, The holy name is very sweet, but if you are covered by ignorance, then you can't taste it as such. But the very cure is sugar cane, and by doing that, the disease is cured, and then you'll be able to experience it as it is.
What that sounds like is, has anyone read The Prophet by Khalil Gibran?
Yeah.
So he's asked to like talk about suffering, and he explains suffering as it's hard, but drink it as a remedy, though it may be bitter. You will grow into become a better, more understanding person. Like it'll be that you're better for it. That's what it reminded me of.
Okay, no, it's some kind of similarity, but that's more like not the experience, but the understanding that suffering is coming, but it's to purify you. And so it's similar, thank you. Okay, now I'm going to give a quick review. Our disease state, there must be an ear of the type which can catch nectar, the sweetness from divine sound. That which is sweet to one may be bitter to another according to the taste. In this verse, Rupa Goswami says, when our inner tongue is influenced by ignorance, the holy name tastes very, very bitter. So remember we showed the video called The Art of Distraction? Remember that. So what was the point I was trying to make in that?
Something you're not seeing it actually.
That's one of the things, yeah, but that perception depends on attention. And attention actually depends on consciousness. So if you have the wrong attitude, then you won't be able to experience something in the right way. Just look at the concept of envy. Someone may be very beautiful, but because you have that attitude, you can't experience them as such. And the same thing, if the holy name is very beautiful, but if you don't have that concept or understanding, you don't realize it, it's going to be very hard for you to focus on it. And I just remember it struck me from the Yoga Sutras, where it described what practice is, concentration over a long time without interruption and with the right attitude. And then when that happens, then you get realization. I just had some experience lately in the last few days about chanting. It just shows you how, you know, you're studying. It inculcates into your view. Basically, the way we're supposed to actually elevate our consciousness is we hear truth, we meditate on that, we understand it, and then we apply it. And when we apply it enough, then we begin to realize it. So what is the truth? The truth is that the name of God and God is non-different. So by hearing that so much when I'm chanting, I can see that that consciousness, that understanding, that this is God and the name is non-different, substantially increased my concentration and attention, and therefore also substantially increased what I am experiencing from God in the name. And I really think that that's actually the most important thing, to really have that conception and that faith that the name is God and God is here in his name. So, so that's what's being said here. Somehow or other, the thing that is the most beautiful, we are not experiencing as such because of a certain attitude. Hare Krishna, welcome. Good. Good that you're here. Okay. So, And I relate that to faith. Because we don't have faith, or how do you get faith? You get faith when you are receptive to God. And therefore, let God into your consciousness. You don't have, the sun's so powerful, but you can put on sunglasses. The sun's so powerful, you can go in the shade. So somehow or other, things are very powerful, but our vision is very limited, and we can cover that to things that are powerful. So faith means there's a certain attitude that opens our consciousness and allows us to experience spiritual phenomena. Whether it is prasadam, whether it's the holy name, whether it's the holy dham, whether it's the deities, whether it's the Srimad, hearing the stories of Krishna. And there's so many verses when one has that faith. When one has that faith and trust, the experience is profound. And what's the experience of God? The experience of God is love. What is the experience of any person that you have a relationship with? It's love. But what type of love is this? This is Tvasmin Parama Prema Rup. This is the highest form of love. And therefore, it's the highest form of happiness. So you hear the pastimes of Krishna, and you hear the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, because you want God and you want to surrender to God, then you'll understand it and do so. And therefore, when you hear it once, you will feel the full effect. And same thing with the holy name or anything else. So here it says, we're covered by our ignorance. Ignorance means you ignore, you move away, you don't value, you don't appreciate, you don't want. And that covers it. And that's, in fact, the reason why we are covered by God. God is everywhere. So how can you not see God? It has to be your attitude of consciousness. When you don't want to see God, then you don't see yourself. Just like if you don't want to see the sun, you won't see yourself either. If you don't want to see God, you won't see yourself. Because what we are is in relationship to God. You don't want God, you don't want yourself. Because what are we? We're servants of God. So this was described. This is the diseased state. And then, of course, this is beautiful. And then we talked, what actually is this holy name, this Hare Krishna Mahamantra? And this is what happens when you have faith. And this is what you experience. And this was written by someone who had experienced that. And again, my only regret is that I don't know the exact beautiful meter, because when you hear the poetry of this, when one great saint heard this poem by Rupa Goswami, the most confidential associate of Lord Chaitanya Swarup Damodar, he was so stunned by the poetry, he said, what is the use of a poet's words and a bowman's arrow if they don't pierce the heart and make the head spin? Tunde tandavani ritim vitanute tandavali labdaye karna krodha kandambani gatayate karna bude bhyaspriham cheta prangana sangani vajayate sarindhyanam kritam no jani jinata kiyadbhir amritai krishneti varnatvi. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables of Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. I cannot imagine how much nectar is in these two syllables, Krishna. But we're not experiencing it fully. Okay, next. And then Prabhupada talked about what covers the name, and he actually he referred to this verse just indirectly, and I had a little fun because I knew the verse of just seeing the whole thing. But again, what covers the name? Because there's two things. It's the desire to serve or the desire to enjoy materially, which is not enjoyment. Just like we had the drama yesterday in the Karma Cafe. Carla, yesterday at Yoga Maya,
yes.
We did this. The Bhakti Center has this drama group, and it's quite professional. There's actually one professional comedian in it, many years, professional actress, and they did comedy.
Cool.
And they had one comedy called the Karma Cafe. And boy, Megan really plays a dumb, white trash waitress. You can't believe it. And Jai Gidhari says, I can't do it. But he says, what do you have? And he looks at the menu. He said, well, I'll take Rich and Famous, And she said, sure, honey, What do you want for a side? He said, well, I don't want a side. No, he said, everything here comes with a side, And then what are the side dishes of Rich and Famous, Depression and, there's so many other side dishes. So it comes with others. So either we want to enjoy, but really it's not enjoying. It comes with all those side dishes. Or we want to serve. So this verse says, Nate vitu svartakatim hi Vishnu. We don't know our artha, our own self-interest, which is to serve and love God. And therefore, dorasaya ye bahar arti manina. And therefore, we accept a false identity, a false shelter, an attitude. And the attitude covers the soul. And we don't experience the holy name. So this is one of the most... This is one of the things. This is really the core of ignorance. You have the wrong objective. You have the objective to try to be happy by centering yourself and controlling, rather than trying to be happy by centering God and others and serving. So this kind of attitude covers it. And now the cure... chanting the holy name. Despite this disease, if with great care and attention one takes to Krishna consciousness, chanting the holy name and hearing Krishna's transcendental pastimes, his ignorance will be destroyed and his tongue enabled to taste the sweetness of the transcendental nature of Krishna and his paraphernalia. Such a recovery of spiritual health is possible only by regular cultivation in Krishna consciousness. I'll tell a story. I was in college. I went to college in State University of New York at Binghamton. So I was in the student lounge. They always have a big area. And the devotees from New York came in. And, in those days, it's the 60s, the early 70s. Everything was so freaky. But the devotees came in, and they were just so dynamic. And there was one, the head of the devotees, he used to be an associate of Andy Warhol, And he was so charismatic. And then I remember the kirtans, they had these almost spirituals. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama. And people were chanting. It was wild. And then one of my friends had become a devotee, and he wound up being the main person who spread Krishna consciousness in Russia. Not a friend, but I knew him before he was a devotee. At that time, his name was Bob. Then he became Hari Kesh. And then, so I remember, he just sat right down with this beautiful picture. They have that beautiful picture of Krishna and Radharani. And he began to describe, by the chanting of Hare Krishna, I remember, it's called the Bhakti Lata Bij, the creeper of devotion. And he was describing how it grows and pierces the material universe, and it reposes, you know, the flowers of love of Godhead. He was explaining this, and people are like, wow. But the process, the watering process, is chanting and hearing. And the reason why we hear about Krishna is because the best way to focus the consciousness, right, rather than divert the consciousness, what diverts the consciousness is dislike. When we dislike God because we don't want to be a servant, our consciousness turns. So the process of bhakti, it's just like a disease. If you want to cure a disease, you find out the cause of the disease and reverse it. Let's say you have your child has a rash, right? And what's the cause of the rash? Well, they're not clean in a particular place. So because dirt is the cause of the rash, then the mother will clean that place. So what's the cause of us turning away from God? We don't, in other words, we don't like to be a servant of God. Now, we turn our conscious way. So bhakti, the cure is the reverse. You turn your consciousness to God, and that's called worship. That's what bhakti is. You turn your consciousness. And what's the best way to turn your consciousness? Out of love. And love means relationship. So the name is God. You will focus on God most intensely when you have a relationship. So how do you develop a relationship? When you hear the past, we're going to talk about this more. When you hear the pastimes of Krishna and you hear the stories of those who love Krishna in a particular way, when you hear that, then you start to develop love for the person whose name you are chanting. And the more you develop love for the person whose name you are chanting, the more you develop some bandha or relationship, the deeper your meditation will be. And therefore, that's the secret of bhakti. It's chanting and hearing. So we chant and we hear, and we develop a relationship. So here Prabhupada says, despite this disease, if with great care and attention, if one with great care takes to chanting the holy name and hearing Krishna's transcendental pastimes. You like to hear Krishna's transcendental pastimes? Yeah? Okay, come to Vrindavan. I do it every single day. Sometimes twice. That's what I do when I go to India. Now, for a select special group, I also do it in the morning at 8 o'clock. And every day at 4 o'clock. And or if you want, again, why don't I do an advertisement? We're almost full, but if you want Columbia, that's what we're going to do. Morning and evening, and then mixing it with kirtan by Kishore. And I saw, is Mukhi coming? That's amazing. Okay, we'll talk afterwards how much his ticket is, because we'll take care of that, okay? But the pastimes, the cure, chanting the holy name, and especially chanting the name offenselessly, without offense. Aparad, away from Radha, away from that affection, away from that love. And we discussed last week, I can go over it, is that there's three stages of chanting. There's Nam Aparad, Nam Abbas, and Shuddha Nam. There's the chanting with offenses, where the name is a person and there's different ways to ignore or disregard or abuse that person. And when you do, then that person covers themselves from you. Think about a relationship where someone is not nice to you. How much of you do you reveal to them? In fact, you may not even know who that person is. Even they may be before you. So we have the phenomena that being reveals itself according to love. And the opposite, being closes itself according to the lack of love. So when we exhibit that towards the holy name, then less and less of that potency of the holy name touches your heart. And it was given an example of the sun at night. The sun is there, but none of the rays affect you. And then at dawn, there's some heat and light, and it's a substantial effect, but it's still not the full sun. So the pure name is the full sun. And then the offensive name is when the sun's practically not there. The effect is so little. Nam Aparad. And Nam Abbas, so there's offensive chanting, and it gave, there's 10 offenses. And the first one is Sadhu Ninda, to criticize those people who have given their life to giving the name. And that, more than anything else, practically covers the name. Bhakti, this is a nice statement, bhakti recedes at the first glimpse of Sadhu Ninda. I'm not going to discuss this too much because I discussed it very elaborately last week. And if you haven't, you can watch it on the video. And really, one of the cause of all offenses is inattentiveness. Just think of a person where you don't give them your attention, where you turn away from them, and what that does in the relationship. So you don't value it. And that's the realization I had this morning. The name and the named are non-different. Krishna is non-different from his name. And therefore, when he appears, if you respect God, if you respect the name, you give your full attention. And you can disrespect the name in many ways. And one way is to have not understand the name. I'll give you one story like that. I used to be in India, and the worst thing, I was running an institution, and the worst thing is that we couldn't get the proper visas. And I always had to go to Delhi, to the Home Ministry, and somehow beg and plead and try to do so many things to get someone visa extended. So I used to have different contacts, and one day I had a contact, and I got behind the whole office where all the records are from person I knew. And then I was talking to that person, and another person came out of the room, and I said, just wait a second. And then I found out he was the minister of foreign affairs. He was the guy's boss. But because I didn't know him as such, I neglected and I offended him. And what somehow he didn't kick me out of the country. I have no idea why. But it's like that. So the name comes, there's attention to the name, and that's really, really been my prayer lately. And added really a new relish to my chanting, that God has actually appeared, and really focusing on that, and really trying to hear and put my full consciousness there in respect. So you'll look, we're not going to go over them. There's different offenses, and it deals with ignorance of the name and dealing with the name in the a lot of them deal with ignorance of the name and dealing it in the improper way, and dealing with things in relationship with the name in a disrespectful way, but especially the servants of the name. If you really want to offend a woman or a mother for life, right, don't, you know, disrespect their child. Right? Tell them their child is not welcome. You have to be very careful, even at programs, how to deal with children. But sometimes, I remember in the New Jersey temple, they have no sound system, but you can hear any little whisper that a child makes. And even Radhanath Swami, he was so humble, but he couldn't speak because there was so much noise. But he was so humble. He said, you know, I really have fear that I don't want to speak because I don't want to interrupt the children. Love me, love my dog. So anyway, we discussed this offenseless chanting, and then go on where to find it. And Krishna consciousness movement, in whatever form it took, it tries to give the holy name around the world. And, you know, all these wonderful kirtan festivals and people sharing the holy name. Okay, and then the healthy state. When we take the holy name at the beginning, we think it is our duty to count so many rounds. Sometimes it is painful. But when we get a taste for the holy name, then the inner tendency excites us to take the holy name more and more. That's the healthy state. Because it actually is God. And when you open your heart to it, you feel God. And feeling God is feeling yourself. Feeling your soul. There's actually no greater happiness than feeling your soul. Because your soul is consciousness, and consciousness reaches its fruition in love. And there's no greater pleasure. And that type of love is not just a mental conception. That type of love is actually an energy of God. It's the energy of love. It's the thing that God has created or God has willed that gives him pleasure. And when that comes from our heart, we taste the very thing that gave God pleasure. So how great is that? We're concocting so many things. What will give us happiness? What will give us pleasure? But the real thing, what is the pleasure of the universe like? That's God's pleasure. And that's called bhakti. Bhakti Anand. It's the essence of God's bliss potency. And when that comes to our heart and it's offered to God through the vehicle of the holy name, then this is what happens. The tendency excites us to take the holy name more and more because it's the pure name and it's coming from our heart. Just look at it this way. If you are so, so thirsty and you get the best drink in the world, Bihari Lal's Lassis. You ever heard about that? The best drink in the world. The best drink in the world is called Tundai. It's crushed almonds. It's very delectable. And when you're thirsty and you drink it, right, it's coming down your throat. It's just so much, it's just a continuous flow of pleasure. My PhD in sense gratification. This is a thing I can speak about with the most realization. So it comes to your... But when that same pleasure of the nectar of the holy name is coming out, you are tasting the same thing God tastes for pleasure. So he's saying this is the healthy state. And sometimes when we come to Krishna consciousness, we get namabhas. I should remember that. The namabhas means when you are trying to clear the offenses, you're not successful yet, but you're really trying to be attentive. You're trying to be respectful. You're chanting the name not when you're sitting before the computer, but you're actually sitting on an asana and you're concentrating and you're respecting. So the effect of the clouds of ignorance and the midst of sinful activity and things that are unwanted, they don't cover you as much. And it says when you do that, you'll get everything short of love of Godhead. Only Krishna Prema will give you love of Godhead. But up until that, if you can chant namabhas, if you can chant without offenses, it can give you everything. And once you understand what namabhas is, then you strive for the pure name. And then it says, oops, back one, Rati. And then it reveals, because the name, in India they say Nam Prabhu. It's a person. So what happens? At first you know the name of the person, then the form of the person, then the qualities of the person, and then the activities of the person. So it describes, even in your practice, it's called a sadhana kram. First it's the name, and then the name reveals its form, and then its qualities, and then its pastimes. So he said, this is the healthy state, when you get free from the disease of ignorance. And this is also called, next, bhava. And what bhava is, it's a very, very interesting thing. What bhava is, in the progression of devotional service, there comes a point where you become addicted to Krishna. It's called ashakti. You become addicted to Krishna. And when you're addicted to something, you struggle not to do it. Right? Now we're struggling to do it. You'll struggle not to do Krishna. Just like, you know, they describe that one person in bhava, he went to the bathroom. See, he thought the name is not different than Krishna, so I don't want to take it into the bathroom. But he had to bite his tongue. He had to struggle not to do it. And then I told you the story. There was a little boy that said, what are you doing? You know, and then he described about the holy name, that it should be chanted even at the moment of death in any circumstance. And he should always chant the name. And Lord Chaitanya heard him. He said, this young boy is Guru. He knows the holy name. And the boy became name as Gopal Guru. Even a young boy, they used to call him Gopal Guru. And then he became a famous guru in our line. So you can't stop. And what happens is, it's described something like this. The voice in your heart, the desire, the craving for God becomes so intense that God hears the voice of your heart. And then when God hears the voice of your heart, then he has to make a decision. Will I give him my loving potency? And they said, well, then God said, well, I don't know. Why? Because what controls God? Love. So you don't really give that too easy to, because if someone has that, they can control God. The quality of prema is Sri Krishna Karshani, that love even controls God. And God cannot be the supreme person unless that's the fact. Because the greater the person, the more he's controlled by love, right? Think of it the opposite way. You pour your heart out to someone. You give your life to someone, right? But they're so powerful, they're not affected. Is that a great person? Is that a wonderful person? Why? He's so strong. He will not be controlled by your love. Try more. Give yourself more. Surrender more. Surrender more. Give yourself more. No. The Supreme Personality of Godhead means that his greatness is that he's controlled by love. He's controlled by love. So that love is actually, it's two things. It's the nature of our heart to serve. And the ultimate service is to offer the loving potency of God back to God. And when you have that desire, it may come into your heart. And then it becomes one with your mind. Like an iron rod and fire, your mind becomes God-eyes. It becomes love-eyes. And then your heart becomes so soft. And then you develop these intense desires that consume you. I want to be with God. I want to serve God. I want to serve Krishna. And I want to have a relationship with Krishna. So this is bhava. Yes.
I'm very far away from that
point. Yeah.
In practice, and I'm wondering if considering vai bhakti, when you're in this point where you're just following the rules, because because you're following the rules.
Yeah.
Would that be considered niyam agraha also, because you're following the rules for the sake of following the rules? But in your heart, you're trying to achieve something that's beyond you.
Well, let's look at Niyama Agraha. Let's go back, right? That was one of the things that was...
Is that not
a God? No, I'll explain to you. That was one of the things, Niyama Agraha, one of the things, the external behaviors of someone trying to progress in Krishna consciousness, one of the things is that they avoid things which are unfavorable. And one of the things that's unfavorable is niyama agraha, which means too little affection or too much affection for the rules. And I don't think when you're practicing rules for the purpose of remembering Krishna, that's not too much affection for the rules. It's too much affection for the rules when you follow the rules, you know, despite the fact that it's not helping you to think of Krishna. For example, in India, a lot of these sadhus, they follow Ekadasi. You know how they follow Ekadasi? The day before, they take one simple meal, once. Then they stay up all night chanting. Then on Ekadasi, they don't drink or they don't eat. And then they stay up all night chanting throughout the night. And then the next day, they only eat one meal, and they go through the next day. And Pradyumna, who's here, he used to visit some of these sadhus. I said, how do they do it? He said, well, it's like an exercise. You know, you got to exercise. They exercise. But if that's your rule, right? But, you know, because your physical constitution or your health, you sleep all day. And you don't remember Krishna, but you know you want to follow the rules because you're strict. That's niyama agraha.
So that's not the same as, for example, chanting 16 rounds because you have to chant 16 rounds.
No.
Until you get to the point where then you enjoy it and you're fully absorbed in the name. But until that point, basically, you're just sort of like...
Well, yeah, because... Well, there's certain things you do that it's called tapasya. Tapasya means despite the irrational impulses of the mind and senses, you do what's best for you, right? So if you take a certain vow and you maintain that vow, you're doing it for the purpose of increasing your remembrance for Krishna. And that's not too much affection for the rules, because it will help your remembrance of Krishna. It's tut tut karma pavartanat. It's one of the things that's favorable. Okay, text, yeah.
Sorry, I have a question.
Yeah.
You were saying something that really resonated with me.
Yeah.
You were saying that like when you give all your love to someone and then it's not reciprocated, yeah. And that's the reason why God is so great, because he's in this equal relationship with you. And that, like, God's heart can be turned. It's affected by you. And I think that's amazing.
Yes.
It's so awesome.
Yes, it's amazing and awesome, but it's the nature of love. The nature of love is that a person will want to serve you. And when you serve one, what does it mean? You become ruled by their desires. When you really want to love someone and serve one, right, then you become ruled by their desires, the mother and the child, right? If the mother loves the child cries, the mother gets up. The child wants to eat, the mother feeds. The child, you know, so it's when you have love, but if you don't have love, then you know, and what is a bad mother? That she's very, very selfish, right? Right? She's not controlled by the child's desires. Did Priya want to show you some love? What'd she say?
She always shows me love.
What did she say?
She was talking about my niece.
About what?
My niece.
Okay, some practical example. Okay, good. Thank you, Priya. Yes?
Bhakti is a... Bhakti is one limb of what?
Bhakti is what?
The one limb.
One limb. One limb.
Bhakti is one
limb.
Of what?
Yes. Of what? How many?
Did I say bhakti is one limb? I don't hear that.
No?
No.
Oh, that's my world. I'm sorry.
Okay, we'll discuss it. Okay, let's see. If we can cover the next verse a bit. Okay. Okay. Text. Now, this is when you develop an attraction. Remember, these are the internal things. So, one, you have to do it because it's good for you. And now you start doing it because you like it. And therefore, when you like it, you could actually do the best thing. And the essence of all advice that once you utilize one's time, 24 hours a day, and nicely chanting and remembering the Lord's divine name, transcendental form qualities, and eternal pastimes, thereby gradually engaging one tongue and mind, this way one should reside in Braja and serve Krishna under the guidance of the devotee. One should follow in the footsteps of the Lord's beloved devotees who are deeply attached to devotional service. So now this comes to what's called Raganuga Bhakti. And what Raganuga Bhakti means, Vaidhi Bhakti means the main impetus is your understanding that this is right. It doesn't mean that there's not love. You can also have a taste for that, but how do you inform your practices and your attraction for that is I follow the rules. And that even can be at a very high place, because when you worship God in the sense of divinity and you have that sense that Krishna, the concept of Krishna is God is your friend, God is your lover, God is your child. So that's called spontaneous love, because there's nothing external to love in that relationship, because there's no obligation and duty. But when you worship someone who is superior, then to please them, there's a certain protocol and etiquette. Otherwise, they won't be pleased. If you have that relationship with someone, you know, there's a certain protocol and a certain etiquette and a certain things you do. And to please them, you find out what it is. I'm going to see the king. I'm going to see, and you're a British citizen and you're really into Queen Elizabeth, you know, and you have honor for the, you know, the royalty. And there's a certain protocol and etiquette, and you may have affection, right? And you'll find out what it is. And how do you please them? Because this is the way you deal with the queen, and this is how you stand, and this is how you shake your hand, and this is how you enter, and this is when you enter. It's still a kind of love, right? But the impetus for the love or for your activities is what are the rules? And when you get to the platform of spontaneous devotion, it's informed by your love. Just purely love. And therefore, it's described that this love that is with Krishna, when God comes in an intimate form to worship, or God manifests his original form, the love is very, very forceful. It's more forceful. Because when the concept is God, and that's the form, that's the relationship you want, then what does that mean? Well, there's a little fear, maybe. What if I do the wrong thing? What is the rules involved in this? And there's a little obligation and duty. I must, because they're a superior. And there's a little distance in that love. So Lord Chaitanya really came to give this spontaneous love. Krishna himself came to give this spontaneous love because it's so much more forceful and so much more powerful and so much more pleasurable. So now in that practice, you've come to that. And then what is the essence of all advice? And it really is the essence of all advice. To develop your love for God and to do it always and always be meditating on God. Okay. But what Prabhupada does in the purport, he first describes, well, what is the nature of the mind? Because this verse talks about what? It talks about you should think of God and the essence of always thinking of God. So what's the impediment for that? It's the nature of our mind. So Prabhupada talks about the nature of our mind. And then he's going to talk about the best use of it. So the nature of the mind, Prabhupada said, since the mind may be one's enemy or one's friend, one is to train the mind to become one's friend. And how do you train the mind to become one's friend? To train the mind to focus on things that will elevate the mind rather than degrade the mind. I like how it's put in Yoga Sutras. You have two types of thoughts, klishta vritti, aklishta vritti. You have good thoughts and bad thoughts. And what are good thoughts? Good thoughts are thoughts that will elevate the mind to a higher level of perception and contentment. And what are bad thoughts? Thoughts that will degrade the mind. Attraction, bad thoughts are attraction for things that will degrade the mind, even if they're pleasurable. Take an alcoholic. Klishta vritti, a bad thought. What? I want to drink. Why is it a bad thought? Because even though I'm attracted to it, it'll give me pleasure, it'll degrade the mind to a lower form of contentment and perception and contentment. And klishta vritti, bad thoughts. I don't like to do that. I don't like to chant today. When you don't want to do the things that are good, I don't want to exercise. In other words, good thoughts are when you have attraction for the things that are healthy and aversion for the things that are unhealthy. And bad thoughts are the opposite, when you have attraction for things that are unhealthy and aversion for the things that are healthy. And we can look in our mind right now how many things we're attracted to that are pushing us that are not good for us. And how many things we're not attracted to that are good for us. So a healthy mind is a mind that has good thoughts. And good thoughts, and we have to train the mind for good thoughts. I'll tell a story now because somehow spring is entering in and I have more competition, so I'll have to be more dynamic. You remember I told this last week, but in a different way, but you remember that Saint Ramesh Baba, Radhanath Swami, stayed with him? He's a great saint of Vraj. He's still living. If anyone comes to Vrindavan, we can go and visit him. His door is always open. And he lives on this hill. When Radhanath Swami lived on the hill with him, it's one of the hills of Barsana. At that time, you know, there were pythons on the hill and tigers and dacoy. You know, anything could come. And there was nothing up there. So Radhanath Swami used to sleep outside with him. And Radhanath Swami said, how can we sleep outside? There's so many dangerous things. Oh, Krishna will protect you. Radhanath Swami said, okay. So he woke up in the morning and he saw that Ramesh Baba had a little stick. And Radhanath Swami said, I thought you said Krishna will protect us. He said, we have to do our part. But I went up to see this Ramesh Baba, and he's open as a sadhu. He never closes his door. So I walked in, and he was on his porch, very high up, this thing. He was on this porch, and he was shaving. Someone was shaving him. And it, he had shaving cream, and I don't know why they shaved. You know, usually maybe up to down or top to bottom, but it was side to side. So he had one side which was completely shaven and one side with shaving cream. And I walked in, and the first thing he said, any service for me? I walked in another time, he was eating. Any service for me? Right? Such a nice mood of a Vaishnav, right? Any service for me? So what happened is, I said, well, you have any kind of instruction? And then he said something, because he spoke perfect like British English. He's very educated before he came at the age of 20. And he said, well, everything depends on your thoughts. He said, if you have good thoughts, then you'll have good actions. If you have good actions, you'll have good habits. If you have good habits, you'll have good character. And if you have good character, you'll have a good destination. So Prabhupada's also talking about thoughts. So what is the essence of all advice? The essence of all advice is when you can constantly think of Krishna. That's the essence of all advice. In fact, when Vyasadeva was trying to edit the Vedas and make it relevant to people, he was doing it very indirectly. He took the Vedas and he divided it into four Vedas. Maybe people can understand them in parts, like a mother who's trying to feed the child a big chapati or piece of bread. She breaks into little pieces. So he thought, I'll break it into little pieces. People will be able to digest it more. And then he said, well, they're not getting it. Let me do it in story form. It was the Mahabharat. And then he said, well, still they're not getting the essence so much. Maybe I'll codify it in the Vedanta Sutra. And he did all this work, and he was depressed. So he couldn't understand, how can I be depressed? Because usually sadness indicates there's something wrong. Right? But what did I do wrong? I worked so hard. I followed my guru. I did everything. So he went in deep into his heart, try to find the root cause and the root cause of the suffering in his heart. And he went deep in his heart, and then he had a realization. And the realization was, I haven't sufficiently glorified God in my presentation. It's great, you know, to preach vegetarianism and preach health and have people do exercise and so many good things. But you have to get to the essence that unless they focus their consciousness on God, divine love in their heart won't awaken. So he wrote this whole book and he never really got to the point. And that's relevant to us also. You have to get to the point. And this is the point. And it's the goal. And we may not be there. But if everything's dependent on the mind, then this is the highest state of the mind. Tannama, rupa, charitat, sukirtananu, you do the kirtan, tannama, the name, rupa, charitya, the character, adi, and so forth. You chant and hear and glorify God. Nothing makes you more happy in heart. It's just a fact. Nava nirada nindita kanti param rasa sagara nagara bhupaparam shubhavankim acharu sikanda sikam bhaja krishna nidim braja raja sitam braja krishna nidim braja raja. Sing. Nothing makes you feel happier, right? The name, form, qualities of Krishna. Yaso mati nandana braja bara nagara gokula ranjana kana Gopi paranadana manana manahara Kaliya dama davidama Amala harinama miya vilasa Nothing makes you happier. And that's what's being said here. And the more you can eventually do it, the more you'll be happy. Next verse. Why do we train the mind? It's so dangerous. Because we have so many samskaras, impressions, for attractions and aversions. And they're sometimes conflicted, right? Sometimes we have conflict. There's something that is good for us, but we also don't like it at the same time, right? In our conscience, we have honor our mother and father, but our mother and father are not honorable. And then there's just so many things that go on in conflicts, the conflicted mind. You know, so it's so dangerous, Prabhupada's saying, the mind. And thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of impressions. You don't even know where they come from. Right? Why we're attracted to certain things and I'm always amazed, you know, everyone has a different vision, a different proclivity, etc. You know, God's given me like the gift of gab. It's so it's kind of easy for me to talk, you know. I mean, I also read and study and things, but it's easy for me to talk. But put me before a computer. Rutti will tell you. Rutti is an administrator in Harvard for tech support. He's given me personal lessons on trying to put a lecture onto iPhone. He's done it 3 or 4 times. To this day, I'm completely bewildered. I haven't even come to the first base in doing that. I'm so completely bewildered. We have different minds, different proclivities, different tastes, and they're all conflicted. We had a good impression of a man and a bad impression of a man and a good impression of a man and a bad impression of a man. And men are bad, men are good, women are good, women are bad. I like, I don't like. And you create these minds. And students of psychology are aware of the mind's various psychology. And then what happens at the moment of death? Prabhupada said how important it is to control the mind and bring the mind to this higher level. So what happens at death? Yam yam vapi smaram babam tajant. Whatever the state of being one remembers when he quits the body, that state he will attain. The gross body is a product of the subtle body. The face is the index of the mind. We create our destiny. And when it says whatever we think, it's not just think, it's what our attractions are. Because at the time of death, you will not be able to think. You won't be able to select things. It'll be the state of your consciousness. I was there in Vrindavan when Prabhupada came to leave for the last time. And I was outside his door. And he came by train from Bombay. And he was carried in. It looked like the Pieta by his disciple Brahmananda, who was an ex-heavyweight wrestler. It was like the Pieta. Prabhupada being carried onto his room. Prabhupada looked at us and he quoted from King Kulashekar, Krishna Twadiya Parapankaja Pankarajam Adyeva Me Vishatu Me Manasara. Let me die now when the swan of my mind is entangled with your lotus of your feet. Otherwise, at the time of death, when my body is choked up with mucus, how will I remember you? One sadhu in Vrindavan, he told me something really scary. He said, you know what you'll think about at the time of your death? You can have a test. It's what you're dreaming. Because what dream is what's in your mind when you don't have the process of selection to choose what you want to think of. And the same thing will be at death. And I sometimes say, okay, joking around, I'm 65 years old. I better be really careful what I put in there. Real, you know, they had the Groucho Marx routine yesterday, and he was the doctor. It was so funny. I mean, really a great Groucho Marx. Carla, maybe we'll do it at Jai Yogi. If you can get a group together, we can, you know, it's really. So he's going around Groucho Marx, and the person comes in. You know, and he's dead. But how can he be dead? Because he's living, right? He said, how can a dead person be living, right? And he's talking. You know, how can a dead person be talking? He said, Groucho Marx said, you ever see Bernie Sanders? Okay, not all the jokes went off so good. But anyway, they got the stethoscope, they're looking into his heart. Right? And they saw like 25 episodes of The Bachelorette or something, you know? You know, and they're kind of looking in his heart. Yeah. So that's what it's like. That's what it's like. So Prabhupada's warning us. And now he says, training the mind from the perspective of Vaidhi Bhakti, right? Training the mind by understanding what's right and having faith that the Shastra dictates what's right and therefore guiding your practices in that way. And again, it doesn't mean there's no love, there's no taste, but it's a faith of fixing your mind primarily because you understand it's right to do so, for love, as opposed to I'm fixing my mind because of my attachment. One who has not yet developed interest, oh, this is Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada quotes in the Nectar of Devotion, one who has not yet developed interest in Krishna consciousness should give up all material motives and train his mind by following the progressive regulative principles, namely chanting and remembering Krishna in his name, form, qualities, pastimes, and so forth. In this way, after developing a taste for such things, one should try to live in Vrindavan and pass his time constantly remembering the name, fame, pastimes, qualities, and the direction and protection of an experienced devotee. This is the objective and this is the goal. We train ourselves. You know, because we understand we should do it. We gradually get a taste. And when we actually evolve to that level of this profound taste, and this is what we want, and therefore we can do, Because if you're not at that level and you try to think and remember Krishna all day, you'll just be meditating on the 25 episodes of The Bachelorette. You know, that's why there's Vaidhi Bhakti. It means I'm not yet spontaneously attracted to Krishna. So if I let loose of the obligation and duty to do so, I won't really think of Krishna. Right? It's kind of like you say, okay, there's a morning program in temples, right? So people go to a morning program, and they can go out of love. It's not just out of obligation or duty. They want to see Krishna. You know, a person will go, not just obligation, but Krishna is waking up in the morning in his particular lila. Let me go and please him. So there can be some love, but you can also do it out of duty. But a person can say, well, I don't need to regulate myself like this. I will do it on my own. And what will happen? They'll be chanting on their beads, and then that finger that's loose will start to squirrel. They'll start to look at things. They'll start to read books. They'll start to watch the computer. They'll become distracted. Just like if Arjuna left the battlefield to be a meditator, right? But he was still passionate and he still had his nature. If he went to the battlefield and Arjuna wanted to simply meditate all the time, then what would he be thinking? That rascal Duryodhana. That no good such and such. I will, you know. That's what the meditation would be. So even when you get to the more advanced, in our practice, it's going to describe later, hearing about Krishna and hearing about the beauty of Krishna, then at a particular time, what we do is we try to meditate on Krishna. We may not have full spontaneous attraction, but we actually try to think of Krishna and try to meditate on Krishna. But we don't let loose yet of the obligation and duty to do so until we develop spontaneous love. And to the degree that you develop spontaneous love, more and more your practices and what you do will be informed by your heart and by your attachment as a gradual process. So now you come to the platform of attachment. Advises those who are neophytes to give up all kinds of motivated desires and simply engage in the regulative devotional service of the Lord according to the direction of scriptures. In this way, a neophyte can gradually develop attachment for Krishna's fame, form, qualities, and so on. By following that practice and that understanding, it's with some taste, but not yet enough to be beyond the regulative principles. Beyond the regulative principles doesn't mean that we just do whatever we want, but beyond the regulative principles means you no longer need to be guided in your practices by anything external to your own attachment. This is the part of the class where it's kind of like I'm the cook, and I fed a big feast, and then I gave a lot of desserts. One time, I went to Champak's house in Moscow. Beautiful house, really beautiful. And her mother loves to be a host. And I don't know how they did this, but when all these Russian devotees came to the program, they thought they would have to feed them first. And the mother, she has a team, and it's like incredible cook, and makes this incredible. So what they had is they ate before my program, this huge feast, and I couldn't believe how much people in this tundra, this cold place, can eat. The quantities are, so they ate this huge feast. So then I thought, now I'm going to talk philosophy. So I just got up and I had kirtan for 45 minutes. Everybody jumped around. Then I gave philosophy and we spoke for 35 minutes. Then they fed them again. And you ever see a seven-layer Russian cake? The Russians make the best, absolutely they make the best cakes. What's that called?
Napoleon.
That's Italian.
Napoleon.
That's a Russian?
Yeah, Napoleon, not Napoleon.
Okay. You'd think it was a codicil how much I'm talking about food. But, so I feel like I've fed you so much now, and now the most deep subjects are coming. So what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to have to go over them in just a cursory way, and then we'll discuss them when I get back. And I see that I'm going to need at least two more classes to finish this. So I'll book a date in July also, so that you'll know in advance if you want to study. And of course, it was only planned to end in June, so, somebody has to be here, otherwise I can't speak, and I'm sure there will be, but some other people, may catch up on the videos. Okay? Caution. Some Westerners think that Eastern philosophy is something like imagination, so they pass through it very quickly without giving attention to many steps. This means they are self-deceivers. One who desires real improvement will not omit any stage. Shraddha, Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. So people hear that this is the essence of all advice, Tanama, Rupa, Chara. You should remember Krishna and think of Krishna. And we're going to see what it means. You not only think of Krishna, but you think of the form of Krishna whom you have a relationship with. In other words, a certain stage comes in devotion where your relationship with Krishna awakens. You really want to serve Krishna as your child. And therefore you meditate on Krishna in Kumar. He's only a little baby. Or you want to be Krishna's friend, and you meditate on Krishna when he's 5 to 10. Or you want to be Krishna's lover, and you meditate on Krishna when he's 11 to 15. And you want to serve Krishna as one of the residents of Vrindavan. So you begin to meditate on the Manjaris, the young girls who serve Radharani and the gopis. And then that's what you want to be. And then in that meditation, then the nature of your own form in the spiritual world becomes manifest. And you begin to pray in Krishna's lila, and you begin to hear these pastimes, and you pray to serve Krishna in this way. And as when you're chanting, the pastimes of Krishna manifest. And there's so many different meditations. As Prabhupada mentioned once in his book, Astakalila Smaran, Krishna's activities in the 8 parts of the day. And you're meditating on that. And that's a very advanced stage of Krishna consciousness. I remember we heard Iyengar Prabhu. He was the famous kirtaneer in Vrindavan who would chant all the time. And he would be so determined. I want to understand what my relationship with Krishna. And he was crying. And I remember he came into my room crying. I want to know what my real eternal form is in serving Krishna. And then he would during the month of Chaturmasya, and the different practices where you can increase your meditation and eating. He would do this type of practice where you reduce your eating and increase your chanting, that you only eat boiled rice and dal with no spices and no oil, no vegetables. It's called Havishyan. And that's all you eat for the month. And you eat it off the floor. And you put your hands behind your back and you eat off the floor. And when you come up, you can't eat anymore. And you only eat enough bites as the days of the moon. So on the full moon, you eat, on the new moon, you don't eat anything. And then and he would do this, and he would get sick, and he was just wanting, he remember Krishna. And so there's not an easy, it's an advanced stage. So what he's saying here is, people prematurely want to meditate before they're free of material desires and material conceptions themselves. I call it spiritual prejudice. And what is prejudice? Prejudice is you don't see things as they are, but you judge them from a similar experience you had, which you project on them. Or a misconception and propaganda which you project on something. So you never really see something as it is if you're prejudiced. So we have a prejudice of what relationships are based on ego and body. And mostly they're tinged with our desire to exploit and enjoy those relationships. So when we meditate prematurely on the pastimes of Krishna, when they're not couched in an understanding and philosophy given by someone somewhat realized, we will not see the pastimes of Krishna. We'll see a facsimile of what we do projected on the pastimes of Krishna. So there's a little bit of a caution of how you proceed on these things. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada was specifically cautious about this, because as the age becomes more and more degraded, people are more and more sinful, and their projections of their own desires become more and more pronounced. And people's egos are more pronounced. So they meditate on high things and intimate things of Krishna without purification, but for what reason? Because they're in a spiritual society, and ego means I will control if I am more advanced. So I try to do more advanced practices, not for the service of Krishna, but for the service of my ego. And therefore, this is generally considered a sadhana kram. Because for meditation, you need a pure mind. So you have to develop your pure mind by your practice. And therefore, the practice that develops the pure mind and brings us to the state of meditation on Krishna is chanting the holy name, is kirtan. And by chanting kirtan, we become more and more. I wrote a whole article on this. Would anybody like to read about this? No, Julie left very, very early because she had to go. But thank you so much for coming, Mina, and we'll see you again soon, okay? So I wrote an article on this, so I'll put that article on the website, the Facebook page. Okay? Because I can't, and read that article before the next class, and you'll really understand better than I can explain it.
What's the name of the article?
What? What's
the name?
Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti. And now we'll go quickly, because this is worse than a Russian feast now. Then after, it wasn't just one seven-layer cake. There were two or three, and each person got a piece like this, with a lot of watermelon, too. So, anybody want to come with me to Moscow? What? But actually, I have to say, her mother cooks very, very healthy. That's only for the feast, but when you go for the lunch, it's very fine, really fine gourmet. Okay, good. Okay, go, five stages. So dasha means stage. So basically there's a stage where you begin to constantly chant, and then there's a stage where you become attached to chanting, and then there becomes a stage where you develop taste, and then when you develop that taste, you can begin to meditate and remember. And then there's a stage where you realize actually who your constitutional position is in relationship with Krishna. And then finally, there's a stage where you realize it. There's a stage where there's a mental conception of your eternal relationship with Krishna. That's called Sarup Siddhi. And then there's a stage where you actually achieve that relationship with Krishna, which is called Vastu Siddhi. And then, okay, this is what we're going to discuss, and I'll say it briefly. So when you actually begin to understand what your relationship is with Krishna, when you understand what your relationship is with Krishna, then there's a practice that one does, which is actually referred to in this book. And I'm going to say it very briefly. And the practice is either you live in Vrindavan or in your mind you live in Vrindavan, and you begin to remember the pastimes of Krishna. And specifically, you're remembering Krishna while you're chanting. It's the form, the character, the activities of Krishna begin to manifest, and you become attracted to serve Krishna as one of the residents of Vrindavan serve Krishna. And by meditating on that, you want to be the mother of Krishna. You become attracted to Mother Yasoda, and you begin to meditate on her love. And then you develop an intense desire to serve her in that way. And then you meditate on that. You meditate on serving in that way. And there's a gradual ambition rises to serve Krishna in a particular way. I couldn't possibly explain this right now. So I'm going to stop right now. This is the high... Okay, well, you want to hear the higher subjects of Krishna consciousness? We will discuss the higher subjects next time. And the commentaries of the charges. We will do. Okay? This is what we'll do about... Someone in Russia asked me if I was prejudiced against Russians. No, I said no. But yeah, somehow what we'll do now is you'll do the free writing and discussion, okay? So take out your pens. Yes. Questions? Yes.
Yeah. I have a question about our practice and our victories or when we fall.
Yeah.
Purely on our own free will and our choice, or is it Krishna's will? How do we progress?
You mean that sometimes we we're higher and sometimes lower?
Yes, and so the type of progress that we make, is that based on our work and our strength, our will, or is it something that Krishna's mercy?
Everything begins with our will, and Krishna responds to our will. Yeah, and sometimes to help us, Krishna will take away, because he wants us to develop more longing or more attraction. So sometimes sometimes he'll take away the taste to increase our desire for it. So both are happening. It's our will, and Krishna's responding, and he's dealing with us in a way. He may be responding to an offense we made and therefore distancing us from the holy name. Or he may see that we're not taking something serious enough, and he has to make it more rare for us to appreciate it. And he may just be testing us, right? Because he wants to give us something more, and he wants to see if we're determined enough to accept it. So many things are happening. Any other questions? Gail?
Yeah. When you were discussing the difference between biting, bhakti, and it, spontaneous.
Yeah.
And you made a statement where you said, when you're on the platform of spontaneous love, it's not that you don't have regard for rules, but you don't need rules that have nothing to do with your attachment. You don't have to follow those kind of rules. So I, if you could get to
no, I, what I said is the impetus for focusing on Krishna is not because there's an obligation or duty to do so. It's from your own heart. So when it says you're under the regulative principles, it means until you develop spontaneous love, if you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, then you have to follow the particular procedure and rules and practices to keep your mind focused on Krishna. You are obligated to do it. But when you develop spontaneous attraction, you don't have those kind of obligations anymore because you don't need them to fix your mind on Krishna. But you may follow them anyway. It doesn't mean you don't follow them. And in fact, the last verse on Raganuga Bhakti said, learned acharyas know that the 64 practices of Vaidhi Bhakti headed by hearing and chanting are also useful in Raganuga Bhakti. It's not that you don't follow the rules and regulations, but you don't follow them because they're just, because if you don't, you won't meditate on Krishna. So therefore, the impetus for your remembrance is coming from your heart. So therefore, you may not have that strict type of following. For example, Prabhupada didn't go to the Mangal Artik, but he required all his disciples that you must get up, you must attend the morning program, you must attend the Bhagavatam class. Why? Because if they didn't have obligation and duty, they wouldn't be thinking of Krishna. But Prabhupada was above that. He didn't need that kind of obligation and duty to actually meditate.
Yes. They might follow rules, but it's not that they follow rules.
Yeah, well, they may come to the Mangal Arti, yeah, not because they need it, right, to keep themselves regulated and focused, but because out of love of Krishna, their concept is Krishna's appearing in the morning and I love him and I want to see him. Okay? So, take out your pens, 5-10 minutes, free writing, and then we'll break in discussions. Remember, don't let the pen stop. Just say, I don't know, I don't remember, but just keep it moving. And I won't be satisfied until I see every body with the, just moving that pen.
Such nice realizations. I walked around as much as I could, and what a great group, and what a nice thing to do, to actually get together and on a very high level of hearing and chanting very deep, important subjects that can transform life. And what will people do if they don't have these experiences? The whole idea of teacher, guru, spiritual life is you come hear from people. And their realizations are shared, we think of them. And that's generally the way we advance. So it's really great to see all of you here. And Jai Shri Radhe, she cooked some special cookies so that we can meditate on the fourth verse. Who can give the Shastra reference for this?
Yes.
Sharia. Yes, giving prasad and accepting prasad. Anybody know the Sanskrit? Bhute Bhojyate Chaiva. You give and accept. So come up and please get your cookies. Okay? Don't all rush up at once.